Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about, you know, this beginning journey of learning about Mormonism. You know, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we have to put the effort and energy in to get the knowledge of what's going on. Life just doesn't happen. If you don't, they're finding this out by digging up old pair of jeans that somebody worked hard for where we are today, you know. And so we want to begin this journey. We've been talking about it, and you can find out about it in highlights. You know, are Mormons Christians? One of the highlights are talked about, but also they got more details that are unfolding for us to give a better understanding. And I guess the worst thing that ever can happen is something to be almost true.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They say, well, are you pregnant? Well, I'm almost pregnant. You know, you either are or you're not, but something to be that close to it, you know? And so when you look at the Mormonism, it's called, we're going to talk about, you know, why are they called Mormons? You know, what is their beliefs and where did they come from? We're going to play some segments and we're going to make this available to you on the VFN TV blog, the whole Brody file as he begins to interview present day Mormons, the president of the Mormon Church. You know, and he's specifically talking about, I don't even have that segment here, but we'll talk about it as well. But understanding that there's a huge difference, but we need to know what it is. We don't need to just sit there and say, you know, start talking just because somebody said something. We need to know exactly what it is. And, you know, some of the beliefs of just right off the top of Mormonism is that they believe that Jesus and Satan are both brothers. They're both brothers.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were contending spirits from the spirit world.
Right.
And you'll hear, you know, when you hear, we're going to hear some interviews about Mitt Romney, and they talk about his spirit. He was a spirit before, and then he was like predetermined and all this kind of stuff. But Jesus and Satan are brothers, and they were contending to be birthed in Mary, and Jesus won out over Satan.
What?
Yeah, no, that's one of them. Brigham Young says it this way. You know, he was talking about, which is, you have Joseph Smith, which is the prophet of Mormonism. And a prophet is a person, a false prophet and a true prophet. Both of them say the same thing. They say, I heard from God, and this is what God said. The difference is the true prophet heard from God, and they're repeating what God said. And the false prophet heard from whatever else, you know, and it's a lie. It's not true. And so you got to find out what's true and what's false. And, you know, but it boils down to if it's not God through his son, Jesus Christ, and the right relationship with Jesus, it really don't matter what it is. You know, we're lost and dead in our sins outside of Jesus Christ. We're just trying to figure this out on behalf of the church. You know, we need to know, you know, what is this Mormonism and what does it really mean? Because so many people are just going, it's the same thing, you know?
Right.
And just that alone, you know, they're not brothers, by the way.
No.
But Brigham Young said this, and he was the number two man after Joseph Smith, and we'll talk about Joseph Smith a little bit more. But Brigham Young described it like this. He says, God is what we will be, and we are what he once was. Let me say that again. God is what we will be, and we are what God once was. And so in Mormonism, it's about works. You know, you're working your way, you're doing good works, and there's three heavens, you know, there's celestial, and I don't have them in front of me, but you can see on the VFN TV blog, you know, different things that they're, that they created, you know, they got from Joseph. They didn't create it. They just repeated it. And if you're really good, you go to the celestial heaven and you're a God, and you become God. And what they say is that God, who is God now, at one time he was a man and he had a God. But since he worked his way to be God from a man, now he's their God.
Oh.
But they too can become God. This is the very same lie since the Garden of Eden. This is exactly what Satan told, you know, Eve. You know, if you eat of this fruit, if you follow this religious practice, if you take these certain steps in the Mormon church, if you do the certain baptisms and certain obedience to some laws, then you you can be God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the original lie.
Right.
It is based on the original lie. And so that ain't right,
mm-mm,
you know, and understanding that. And in that aspect of believing that God was once man and he is now God and they'll be God, then they deny the Trinity. The president, you'll see in this Brody file on the VFN TV blog, that the president, Mormons, Are They Christians, is the name of the blog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says very specifically, this is just fresh, it's just happened this week, the president of the Mormon church, and he's the one that can, they say, can issue oracles from God,
mm-hmm,
and that he can undo what Joseph heard from the angel called Mormon.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He can undo it. Oh, the Lord would say, never mind on polygamy.
Right, you know? Right.
And so with that, they deny the Trinity, which is the Father, God the Father,
mm-hmm,
God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I want you to go and preach my kingdom. And those that believe, preach the gospel, those that believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, Jesus said, you know, he was with God before the creation of the earth,
mm-hmm,
and he was born of a woman by God's choice as the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary. This, mm-hmm, is the true gospel now.
Right.
And Mary conceived Jesus, the Son of God, in her womb by God's Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's all God, and he's all man.
Mm-hmm.
God took on the form of man. Jesus took on the form. The Son of God took on the form of man. This was forever.
Mm-hmm.
He was not the form of man until he took on the form of man.
Right.
And God is a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and where she named, she goes, you know, I just think I'm going to call him Jesus. No, she heard the voice of the Lord that said, you're going to call his name's going to be Jesus, mm-hmm, and he's going to deliver his people. You know, salvation is going to be in his, all these wonderful things. And so God tells him, you're going to name him. This is important because God says to Mary, you're going to name him Jesus. And so, you know, with that, this is what the Mormon belief is, and what they believe that Joseph, their prophet, Joseph Smith, we'll talk more about that in a second, but I just want to understand this. They believe that Satan and Jesus were contending spirits,
mm,
and Jesus won out.
Right.
I mean, how disgraceful is that, and understanding that, and it's just really not good. And the reason why they're called Mormons is because they follow Joseph Smith, and they call him a prophet, and he encountered an angel, and the angel was called Mormon, you know.
Right.
And so he writes down, and this angel leads him to some golden templates, and on these two tablets, or these tablets, it has all of these writings that this angel is giving him the interpretation of it.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, there was nobody in America that could speak Egyptian, and they were actually hieroglyphics, you know, Egyptian hieroglyphics. But he took them and began to interpret them from whatever sense he got to interpret. And he made this whole story up, and he created this whole nother Bible or book that he is the author of. It says he is the author. Tell me who the author of the Bible is. Come on.
Right.
And then so he calls it a Bible, but it really is the Mormon book. And he corrected. This is what this thing that encountered him said, that the entire church is in rebellion. It's apostate, and it has gone astray. It's gone. I am going to restart. I'm going to fix everything, Joseph, 14-year-old Joseph in the backfield of your mama's house. I'm going to fix everything through you. The priesthood has been broken, but I'm going to lay hands on you, and the priesthood's going to start with you.
Mm.
And that's why you see, you know, you got to have your hands laid on you in the Mormon church, because they're carrying laying hands all the way from Joseph Smith. And that's what brings you into the rights to be in one of the heavens and, mm-hmm, and all these different things. And so, so he just starts making, he just basically makes this stuff up. Well, supposedly there was two other guys that witnessed him getting these golden tablets from this angel.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, they recanted their testimony. They denied this ever happened, and they even began to win people out of this Mormon belief that began to happen during those years.
Right.
And it was birthed in America, as we talked about in an earlier program. And what's interesting, though, that in his writing of this book, he almost borrowed from present-day writers. He borrowed from the King James. He even borrowed from the racism of the day. He even wrote in the racism about, you know, that it was for 150 years, it was written in their books and their Mormon, that their Mormon handbook, their just really hate to call it that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's not. And so that people that had dark skin, not just African Americans, anybody in the world that was black or had dark skin were cursed. And it wasn't until like 1960 that they even started letting blacks into the white Mormon church, you know.
Right.
And it even progressed. They even allowed them. It's just really, it was just all man, you know. And they used some of the King's English. They used the King's English, King James English, when he was, and how could this, these tablets from, you know, back from a lost tribe of Israel ended up in, upstate New York. I mean, we got some people in upstate New York, but, you know, during that time, and they were found all these, you know, thousands of years later, and it has, and the tablets were written or established before the King James English was even created. It wasn't even around yet. It wasn't invented yet. They were still working on it.
Right.
So he's quoting the Bible. He even calls Jesus Jesus Christ in the Mormon Bible. And it's like, well, Christ is not his last name. It's Jesus the Anointing. And besides, Mary was the one. And they wouldn't even have known that it was Jesus Christ. Nobody knew his name outside of when Jesus, God told Mary what his name was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like all these bits and piecemeals. He says, that's not a vision. That's a graven image. You know? And, you know, and so... And so he, they say that when he had this encounter and he's 14 years old, that he saw God and he saw Jesus in a bright light. And he said both of them were men. They had ears, they had noses, they had all this different kind of stuff. And he said that they were men. Well, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Right. Now, Jesus was a spirit, but he actually became man, all man and all God, when he chose by choice to come because he loves you and he loves me and he wanted to have a relationship with us and us with the Father, and he was going to make a way. So he became man forever. Mm-hmm. So when we see Jesus in heaven, we're going to see Jesus the man.
Right.
Is that awesome?
That's cool.
And the fact that he's a man, just his very existence as a man, because he's all God and all man, radiates, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I did this for you. I left the splendors of heaven and the presence of perfection for you, to make a way for you, to have a relationship with you. And it just really just upsets me when I see these false doctrines about him and they try to denigrate his awesomeness and his holiness. And there's only one Jesus.
That's right.
You know, and Paul talks about, we'll talk about it. Somebody can preach to you another Jesus. There's not another Jesus, but they're saying there's another Jesus. This is somebody's different.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say that God himself, you know, is a man. He's a man. Mm-hmm. And that with the ears and nose and all this kind of stuff, he's 14 when he saw him there. In addition, when Joseph, you know, first got this premonition and all these encounters, he went and wrote his book and he published it. I think I have it right here. Let me see if I have it. Yep, got it right here. The original Mormon Bible says at the very front of it here that it was published, printed in 1830, and that Joseph Smith is its author. It's authored by Joseph Smith Jr., you know, and in 1830. And one of the things that progressively began to happen, even though he said that he encountered God and God told him this, that he all of a sudden he just started adding new encounters and new revelations to it. And he established himself as the person who hears from God and issues oracles. And today they say, from Brigham Young all the way down to the present day president, that when the president speaks, those are oracles and you have to obey. If you're going to make it to celestial heaven, you've got to, it's all about works. You've got to be able to do that. And so polygamy is another revelation that he said he got, that, you know, he didn't have multiple wives, and that this is of God. And so polygamy was something that stayed with the Mormons for a long time. So you see today programs on television called Sister Wives and things like that. It's not far-fetched from what the Mormons' original, they claim to follow Joseph. This is what Joseph said. They just say now they're undoing what Joseph said, but they didn't, you know, it's just like, come on, is it yes or is it no?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if he's wrong there, he's wrong everywhere,
right.
You know? And that doesn't happen in the Word of God. And so he finally convinced Brigham Young to be able to do it. And this was really beginning to stir people up in America. Prior to that, people were pretty, you know, whatever. It's a brand new nation and we're, you know, freedom of religion. You can worship God as long as you don't break my leg. Your freedom doesn't break my leg or rob my pocket. You know, your freedom's okay. But then he decided he wanted to run for president. The very first person in the Mormon religion, Joseph Smith himself, was preparing to run for president. And somebody in a newspaper wrote something negative about him. Mm-hmm. And he went down immediately, began to just, he destroyed the newspaper. He destroyed the, it was only had one printing of one newspaper.
Wow.
And he went straight in to stomp it out. And they arrested him.
Mm.
And they arrested him. And then a mob came like the next day and just killed him. They threw him out the window of the second story. And so he died. So Brigham Young takes over. You know, we can find out more about this. I'm not going to talk about all that again. But this is what they believe. So the polygamy carried on. As a matter of fact, Utah was denied statehood for like 47 years. I think it was about 47 years because they would not, Brigham Young, who was the governor of Utah, did not want to give up polygamy, didn't want to deny it, because to deny polygamy was to deny their prophet, because this is what their prophet said. And he had a personal relationship with Joseph, not Jesus, but Joseph.
Right.
And so finally, they gave up polygamy. Polygamy is having multiple wives. And they did that so they can get statehood, and they let them in to be a state in the Union, the United States of America. But from the very beginning, they see, you know, saving mankind, saving the world. And so you see Mormonism, they are all into, you know, food storage, and they're into, you know, end times, helping the end time Messiah come. And it's like, but you have to understand that it's not the same Jesus. It's totally a different Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And, but they wanted to do this. This is what they're doing, because it's all about works. And so you'll see somebody who's into works. They're trying to get somewhere. They're trying to arrive at a place. They're trying to achieve righteousness by their works. And, you know, we're saved by grace and not by works. It's an affront to the cross. It's like since they have, you know, multiple Jesuses, they have multiple gods, and, you know, they don't understand that this is to say that Jesus died in vain. You can do what Jesus did.
Right.
And no man, every man's righteousness is filthy rags.
Right.
And so even though it's a good work, you know, who you're calling good is what Jesus said. Who are you calling good? The only good in us is God. And so, but they're trying to be good enough to get, you know, to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. And so here we are today. We have a good American, a good businessman, obviously a good father, you know, and he's running for the president of the United States, and which he can't put, what you can do as an American citizen. But the question is, the church, I'm talking about the church is gathering around this particular person and saying, we are the same brothers. We serve the same God. And you have to understand, you know, the church has gotten into so much looking at men's eyes. They don't even think about God is watching you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's seeing what you're doing. He's seeing that you are taking a twisted Jesus, you know, somebody that's preaching another Jesus, and you're gambling your hopes for a nation that only God is upholding.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the sustainer of it. He's the giver of life. He's the one that's give us this kind of freedom, and saying, listen, right now, God, we got to put you on the back burner. We're going to throw our hat in there with somebody who's got it wrong. You know, and they're very Bible. They're very, a book that they read called the Mormon. It's called Another Testament of Jesus Christ. Another one.
Right.
And that alone should be a little hint.
Mm-hmm.
But Mitt Romney's father had ran for president and was a failed attempt, but Mitt Romney, we're going to find out. But the question is this. This is the question. The question is, you know, when Paul went to Greece, he said, you know, you're a very religious people, I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear, when Mitt Romney's talking about America, he just looks at us as a religious people. He looks at us as a religious people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we're not religious, we're relational. Christians have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're in a family of God. We're not being religious. Maybe we are, and we got to stop it. Mm-hmm. We got to be relational, have an abiding relationship with God. And I want you to hear this right here, because we're going to begin to walk this out. Who is he a Christian? You know, do we, or we can say this, we can say, listen, hey, you got it wrong on Jesus.
Right.
Wrong. But you're a good businessman.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't say you got it wrong on Jesus, the church is going to think they got it right. And many people are going to be led astray
mm-hmm.
by that. So we have to get this. Hold on. Listen to Mitt Romney talk for a second.
I'm proud of people of faith. I think Americans want people of faith to lead their country. Generally, they don't care so much about the particular brand of faith if the people that they're looking at have the same values they have.
Generally, they don't care so much about the particular brand of faith if the people they're looking at have the same values they have.
And people of my faith have the values of other great religions.
And you notice what's going on right now is that, you know, the Christian values, they're saying, listen, they got the same values as us.
Right.
You know, and in the context of that, if you openly say this is not Jesus, you're in a false religion. You know, if you die today, you're not going to be with God. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. But church, don't buy into this good religion
mm-hmm.
because you have to, you're only saved by grace and not by works. And you're not going to be God.
Right.
And Jesus and Satan weren't brothers.
Right.
And Joseph, the 14-year-old young man, did not see God because God was not a man. And those Egyptian tablets I told you about, when they finally, somebody got a chance to interpret them, it was about one man's family. You know, somebody that could read hieroglyphics, and the Egyptians, you know, progressed in that, that it was just about one man's family, and it was all made up. Every bit of it was made up.
Right.
And so we do care about what brand, you know, of religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It does matter. When we say all of our rights come from God, everybody that's in some sort of form of religion, they say that, but only one of them is right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Only one of them is right, and there's no other way to God. There's no other way to God except through his son, Jesus Christ. He is the way, he's the truth, he's the life.
Mm-hmm.
And any other way is a thief and a robber, and any other Jesus, not another Jesus, but another description of him that's not true
mm-hmm.
by works. And let's go on, I'll keep on listening here.
That are represented here in this country. And I don't really care much about how people want to look at me initially. They're going to, perhaps the first thing they'll hear is, oh, he's from Massachusetts. Is he like Kennedy or Kerry? No, he ran against Kennedy.
Cranny here on the Brody.
So you think about it, that he's saying specifically that we don't care about what kind of brand of religion.
Right.
It's like, has we become a brand?
I know.
You got Levi Strauss, you know, you got Coca-Cola.
Right.
And you got Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a brand? Is he a brand? Mm. You know? If we come to this point now that we're just going to market. Yeah. That's what Jesus did. He kicked over all the tables and stuff.
That's right.
And so it's very important to understand that you know, what this is. And we have to ask ourselves the question, if God is watching us, and, you know, we have two particular men that are running to be our leader for the next 4 years, and we have an obligation to research them out and to know them. And both of them are talking about a Jesus that, if you look in the Word of God, that is not the Jesus that we know.
Mm-mm.
It is another Jesus.
Right.
And so the question is, does God sustain America, or does men, does our politics, does our political party sustain America? Because the question is, when you're talking about this, is is God going to pull us out of this?
Right.
Is God going to bring us through this? Well, I believe that if we turn to men, you know, he's not.
Right.
Or at least we're going to go through a time of period that we're going to turn to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that if we turn to him, which means we go to our knees, and he says, if my people who are called by my name, when I send a plague amongst my people, when I do these things, when I bring a storm against you, if you will actually fall to your knees and you repent and turn from your wicked ways, humble yourself and pray, and then I will hear you and I'll heal you and I'll change it. But if we turn to politics instead of God, if we turn to a brand of religion other than God, if we turn to another Jesus, and there's two different Jesuses being taught by two different men that are wanting to lead this country, and both of them are different than the Jesus in the Bible.
Right.
Totally different. You know, they're using Jesus's words. They're talking about the Bible, but they're using it out of context, and they're using it outside of knowing Jesus. The way it's just
right.
You know them by their fruit. Jesus said, "You know them by their fruit." And what you're seeing is like, my goodness gracious, what is going on here? But I really believe that we're just, you know, getting what we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
But if we'll fall to our knees and humble ourselves, you know, and don't. It's kind of unfair anyway for somebody to say, hey, a man's going to deliver us. It's God that delivers us. And he will use men, but God is the one that does it. David knew this. He was really good. Even though David participated in the process and worked really hard for God, he knew and always gave God the glory for delivering. He sought the Lord and inquired of the Lord. And so with that, I want you to know that we have to turn to God. We have to turn to him. And you know, that's the question when you talk to somebody about this. They go, well, then who do I vote for?
Right.
Once you know this, you're like, yeah, that's a good question,
yeah,
isn't
you're
it?
Stuck, right?
Yeah. Who are you going to put a sign up in your yard for God you to see? What are you going to put up?
Right.
And you know, and since the beginning of Mormonism, Joseph the prophet, their prophet, you know, that wrote his book and they follow that. By the way, and they say that he corrected a lot of problems in the Bible. The Holy Bible had things wrong with it, and he corrected it. Even though he borrowed from it, he corrected it.
Right.
It was interesting because it wasn't even written yet. You know, Jesus wasn't even born yet, and he talks about Jesus in there. And he just borrows from the phrases of the King's English that wasn't even existent yet in the time of these tablets.
Mm-hmm.
And so the angels interpreting these tablets that happened, you know, thousands of years ago, and he's writing it down, but yet he's using the King's English that wasn't even invented yet, and he's borrowing from the King James Bible, which is kind of like, come on.
Ridiculous.
Come on. A blind mind's a scary thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it happened. I mean, it's people, you can be deceived.
Sure can.
You can be totally deceived. And so with that, you know, so here we are now, Mitt Romney's running for president and Joseph Smith was running for president. And it's all about laying hands. That's why they say, hey, I don't want to lose my rights, because you get to a certain point and you do everything right, they'll come and lay hands on you. When they lay hands on you, then you have access to the heavens and all that. They believe that if you're baptized, you're not saved, but you get a chance to be saved. You can be saved. But when you get to prison after dying, they will leave celestial heaven and come down and teach you the ways. And then if you accept the good news, then you'll enter into one of the heavens, depending on how good you were.
Right.
And it's this whole thing. And then they baptize the dead, you know, that they have a name after name. They want to baptize them. Why? Because they believe if you're baptized, you're going to have the gospel preached to you when you're in prison. When you die, you go to prison. And because you're baptized, now you have a chance to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, my goodness.
Christ.
And then the baptismal bull sitting on top of 12 bulls. A clue. And it's got, you know, rites like a messianic lodge. When you think about the things that are going on, all these different, it's like he borrowed from all these different things so that day, which seemed really powerful that day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as time progresses, you start realizing, man, stuff's like, what were they thinking? The bull moose party, you know? And, you know, with that, and so here we are today. You know, Mitt Romney is running for president, and it's not by mistake. It is totally not by mistake. As a matter of fact, listen up to one of his friends right here. We'll be right back.
Cranny here on the Brody File. Look, there's another critic of Mitt Romney's lurking out there. We found him. Actually, we found him about 6 hours south of here in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's Michael Moody, a former television reporter. Now he's come out with a book about Mitt Romney. Why has he come out with a book about Romney? Well, they actually went to school together at Brigham Young University. Have a look at some of what he has to say he's not a big fan either.
Well, I knew of Mitt Romney before I got back to BYU. I came home from Vietnam, and he had just come home from his mission, and he was president of a club group called the Cougar Club. So I knew who he was, and then we spent a year in the club together and then graduated together. And immediately the talk was that Mitt Romney was going to be president someday. He was the one. The buzz in the club was that Mitt would be running for president, and if not him, then who?
Mm, and he heard that. You think he heard that buzz?
Well, he knew. He said it himself, that he was going to be the guy. His father had just run 2 years earlier, George Romney, and had been unsuccessful. And in the Mormon Church, we're told that before we were born, we lived in a pre-earth life, a pre-existence. And there we were. Mitt was a valiant spirit. I was a valiant spirit. We're told in these patriarchal blessings, and that we are here to help bring the second coming. And to bring, you know, to get the Mormon Church into the White House would be a great goal, and Mitt was going to lead the way.
Why would it be a great goal? What's the importance of that within the Mormon Church?
Well, Joseph Smith wanted to be president. He was trying to run for president and had that process underway when he was killed. And the Mormons believe that they are to basically end up dominating the world. They have to save the world. That's why they build their temples. That's why they are so politically involved. Mormons are in all aspects of American public and political life today. And part of it is the way we were taught as children, that it's our responsibility to be involved, that Jesus is coming soon, that the restored gospel of Jesus Christ is back on the earth, and that those of us that were born at this time into the Mormon Church are here to help prepare the way.
And you're speaking from experience. You have heard this, you have seen this, so to speak, growing up in the Mormon Church.
When I was a little boy, I was told that Jesus would probably come in my lifetime. And that's not just unique to the Mormons. That's a belief of evangelical and other denominations. But Mormons, you have to understand, they believe that they have the restored gospel.
Michael Moody here on the Brody File.
So you think about it, that what it is it's a religion. It's a religion, you know, that mm-hmm. It's based on works,
right?
Which is not based on works with God.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a lot of good things. I mean, when it's based on work, you're going to have to work hard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And though you see a lot of Christians working hard that have the right perspective of God, they're not working for success.
Mm-hmm.
They're working from a place of success.
Right.
Their works are is a byproduct of their faith in God and their salvation. It is not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, faith without works is dead. But which one comes? The faith comes first. And then because I believe, because I abide with God, you know, the goodness of God, you know, manifests in my life, and the fruit, you know, comes out of my life. But mm-hmm. Ephesians 2, the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us, and this is the key scripture in regards to what we're talking about, works,
mm-hmm.
for it is by grace, which is undeserved, unmerited favor. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. There's nothing you can do in your own works. There's nothing that you can do in your own strength. There's no work your way up to celestial heaven. There's no way of becoming God. There's nothing you can do. You're
right.
Totally dependent upon the grace of God, the goodness and the kindness of God. And he says it is the gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift.
Right.
It's a gift.
That's right.
Not by works, so that no one can boast.
Mm-hmm.
He tells the church of Galatia, he says, who bewitched you?
Right.
What's begun in the spirit, now are you trying to fulfill it in the flesh?
Mm-hmm.
Are you now trying to fulfill it in the flesh?
Right.
Who cut in on you? You're running a good race. And it's important, if all of a sudden, if we think that we're maintaining our relationship with God because of our good works, you know, we've gone astray when that happens.
Right.
Well, this is way astray, because obviously the Book of Mormon, you know, and Joseph having this encounter with this, you know, apparition or whatever it is he's having out there, you know, in New York. And, you know, there's a lot to it. You can find out more about it on the VFN TV blog that is entitled Are Mormons Christians? We have a lot of good things on there, including this entire Brody interview, you know, talking about that, how the president says we have two issues. And one of the issues he talks about is that we deny the Trinity. Like, it's like, you know, it's a little small thing we can get past.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Because remember, when Jesus left and he was raising up to go be with the Father, that he said, go wait for me, wait for the endowment of power. And so they go to the upper room and they wait. Why are they waiting? They're waiting because Jesus is going to go sit at the right hand of the Father. You know, God's not sitting by himself, sitting beside himself.
Right.
His son's sitting beside himself. And he says, and wait because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God's going to come down and the church gets birthed. That's Acts chapter 2. And so how can all this be happening if the Trinity doesn't even exist and it's the Holy Spirit? Check out the role of the Holy Spirit. You know, look in your VFNTV blog and your highlights as well on your application at VFNTV.com, you know, all those different areas. And we just talk about some of the what the Holy Spirit does, the Spirit of God, which they deny.
Right.
You know, and you, when you're into works, you know, and a lot of the churches into works nowadays that, you know, you don't even think about, it's actually the Holy Spirit's job to do that.
Right.
You know, he's the one that convicts of sin. He's the one that, that comforts, encourages. And when you talk to somebody, the Holy Spirit steps in there and does these things. And when your total dependency is on the cross of Christ. And so you can't deny the, this is what? And it's, and it's a good thing. You know, it's an invented thing that's good, but it's still invented.
Right.
It's still invented. And it's horrific. It's good and good works wise, but it's evil in the context of what they say about Jesus. It's, you just can't play games with that.
Mm-mm.
You know, this is evil. The people are being led astray by this Joseph Smith and this Brigham Young and these other couple of presidents and these elders. And it's like, stop, you know. And we just pray right now that, that everyone would be saved and they would give their life to the Lord. But he says very specifically in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 through 19, he says, I warn you. This is the revelation of Christ. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of the scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in these scrolls. This horrific plagues when you look at the revelations and the things that happen. And if anyone takes away from the scrolls of these prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in these scrolls. What does that mean? Is that when you wrote that Book of Mormon, you didn't make it to the holy city. You went to hell.
Right.
That's what that means. You didn't, if you didn't repent and you led all these people astray,
right,
you added to the Word of God. Not only did they add to it, it says that they corrected the Bible. They corrected the Holy Bible. Authored by Joseph Smith Jr.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
That's crazy.
And it's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Totally wild. But you understand that that's a deception right there. And then... So they added to it. So that, therefore, when you see the Book of Mormon, and they'll talk about the Bible, they'll say, yes, the Bible's good.
Mm-hmm.
But the we have a better, more thorough, you know, encounter, and it carried it further, and the Mormon Bible carries it further.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, it carries it to another testament of another Jesus.
Right.
But then Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 11:4, chapter 11, verse 4, 13 and 15. He says, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached. He's already talking about it. In the beginning of the church, he's saying, listen, there's people going to be coming to you that are false prophets, and they're going to talk about a different Jesus.
All right.
Right? He says, if anyone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you receive, which is the Spirit of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit, or a different gospel from the one that we accepted. He's talking about these different people in verse 13. He says, for such men are false prophets. Yes, Joseph Smith is a prophet. He's a false prophet.
Yeah.
But he's a prophet. He's a false prophet. He says, for such men are false prophet. They're deceitful workmen. They're working. They're doing things, religious things, masquerading as apostles of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So it's scriptural. I mean, you know, yeah, these things happen. But you can know the difference if you actually have a relationship with God,
right?
Not religion.
Right.
But just to know this helps prove the fact that men are naturally religious, and we're gonna have a default setting towards something. We don't pay attention, we'll end up worshiping the wrong thing. You know, we have to worship God.
All right.
And with that, we got a teaching coming available really soon on VFN TV. You can subscribe to get it at VFNTV.com, and it talks more about this and. The title of that particular teaching, I'll let Pat get that for you there, but it's going to be available, and it kind of explains in detail and kind of shows you some of the things that we're talking about.
Right.
Then he goes on, he says in verse 13, as I was saying, for such men are false prophets, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And apostles have the ability to lay foundational gifts. They're like entrepreneurs in the spirit, that they can actually, God will send them out almost to the next generation, and they'll begin to articulate a new foundation on that's built on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, you know, but it's how to reach the next generation, and it's they have that foundational thing. So when you start seeing a false prophet masquerading as an apostle of Christ, they'll start building some whole new foundational thing that's not God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole religion, you know, Islam,
right?
You know, which is a whole other topic. This is another Jesus. They right. talk about Jesus as well, but mm-hmm. they say Jesus has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. And so verse 14 goes and says, and no wonder, talking about masquerading as apostles of Christ, no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Who did Joseph see in upstate New York?
Right.
Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then. Listen to this. It's not surprising if Satan masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants, those that are following his doctrine, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. That's why you look at a Mormon, you go, my goodness, they just look right.
Right.
Because they work so hard to be right. You remember we were flying that time, and there was a Jewish man that stood up in the middle of the plane because it was time for prayer.
Right.
And he stood up, and he had a definite, you know, pride issue right there, because when he stood up, it was like all these peasants in the plane, you know. Ugh. And he put on his phylactery over his head. He put on his prayer cloth. He faced the temple, and he prayed as you should do, you know, in his belief. And because we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God, and we love the Jews. And, but it was just like, you know, that, that masquerading, it can look right, but not be right. You know what I'm saying? It can look right, but not be right. And so you look at all these, people, these servants of righteousness, you'll find that they're driven by doing right things. I mean, they're the first ones. When we went to Hurricane Katrina and all the things in New Orleans when you and I were there, I mean, the Mormon people organization was all over the place with buckets
everywhere.
And sponges and just everything, because they see that they're working their way to celestial heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll be God one day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That wild?
Yeah.
And so you have to understand that Satan's servants can masquerade as, and it's like, it's Satan's servants masquerading as angels of righteousness. He says their end will be what their actions deserve. And so we want to witness to a Mormon the same way we witness to anybody else about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with God, through his son, Jesus Christ, that's a gift of God, that they can receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. As a matter of fact, I want to, right now, a former Mormon is going to be talking right here, and you just got to hear this, and we'll be right back.
There are a lot of critics of Mitt Romney out there, some of them evangelical Christians who just will not vote for a Mormon for president. Why is that exactly? Well, we decided to explore that with Sean McCraney. He's the host of the television show here in Salt Lake City called The Heart of the Matter. He compares biblical Christianity to Mormonism. This guy is an ex-Mormon now in the evangelical faith. And this is what he had to say about Romney and the Mormon religion.
Born and raised LDS, loved it, went on an LDS mission, bishopric, stake high council, high priest, seminary teacher. I loved my activity in the LDS Church, great organization, but I didn't know the Lord, and that led me to an internal angst. And after my mission, getting married in the temple, came to a roadside conclusion with the Lord that I needed him and changed my life. And from that point forward, I realized that what I thought I had in Mormonism, I didn't have, and that was a relationship with God. And so then it's been my mission ever since to try to get the LDS to see the need to be born again and to really be Christians.
What was the light, by the way, that turned on inside of you? What was it? Because you were pretty much steeped in the Mormon traditions.
Completely.
What happened exactly there, specifically?
What happened was I came to realize that there was nothing I could do to get myself right before God. Where with Mormonism, yes, they believe in Jesus and everything, but it's you have to do it. He gives you the opportunity, but it's up to you to perform. And I couldn't perform. And I had to be honest with myself. There was nothing that I could do to get myself right before God. And that's when I realized, whoa, Jesus is who did it right for me.
When you hear Mormons and the elders in the church and others call themselves Christians, what is your message as it relates to that?
I believe they think they're Christian. When I was LDS, I thought I was Christian, so I understand the perspective. But what they're talking about is a religious relationship with him where they do, and then maybe they're saved and they never know. What I want them to know is that they can have a epistemological certainty that they are saved by virtue of what he did. And then when you come to understand that, you are free. And with that freedom, you are free from the bondage of sin. And it's the only way to be free. And so I walk around the city now, and I see other people who are still in the church, and they're not free. They're under a cloak of bondage, and it just breaks your heart.
There it is. I mean, spoken right straight from a former Mormon. He just totally nailed it. So the question is this. Mm-hmm. Here we are faced with two men who are running to lead our country. We are Christians. We walk in our faith in Jesus Christ, and we have a relationship with him and each other, and we have a choice to make. And what would that choice be then? Because these two men describe a different Jesus other than the Bible. Their fruit is totally different than what the Bible says. Jesus said, you know him by the fruit. Mm-hmm. And we see this storm happen. We're seeing people lose their jobs. You know, even today we were writing, you and I were writing, we're seeing mm-hmm. all these empty houses and right. people formerly lived in. We're seeing people lose their jobs. We're seeing financial doom, as they're talking about, happening in Europe and then coming mm-hmm. over here to our country. We're seeing banks losing down to like single A ratings. We're seeing, right. you know, what do we do with this storm? And this is the answer. This is the answer. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 through 15. When I, this is God,
right.
when I shut up the heavens, America, the American church, when I shut up the heavens, this is God. We got to quit blaming everything like God's not in control here.
Mm-hmm.
When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour your job, your money,
right.
your family, your things, your wealth, your 401k.
Yeah.
When I, God, shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague amongst my people.
Mm-hmm.
Who's sending that?
God.
Because they're in rebellion. Mm-hmm. When we're in rebellion, we consider hardship as discipline because our God's treating us as a son.
Mm-hmm.
We're misinterpreting our discipline if we're thinking, let's run to a Mormon, let's run to a Muslim, let's run to somebody who has different versions of another Jesus, mm-hmm. instead of saying, no, this America is a byproduct of the church's relationship with God, that if we'll fall to our knees and we'll repent and we'll call out for the Jesus
mm-hmm.
and for God through his son, Jesus Christ, and be empowered by his spirit and repent and turn from our wicked ways, God will give us America back.
Right.
We don't have to lose it. But if we turn to men, we'll lose. He says, if my people, and that's us, it's not other people. It's not the Mormons. It's not the Muslims. It's not the Hindus. It's not the atheists. It's not the people who are trying to earn their way into God. It's us, the people who claim to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're all of heaven's leaning forward and looking at you and looking at me and seeing if we'll humble ourselves
mm-hmm.
and fall to our knees and not run to the polls and throw a lever for whoever, as if they're going to save America. There's no man at this point can save America. Only God can save America. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked is immoral, mm-hmm. immoral ways, wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. Listen, he'll forgive us.
Right.
And he'll heal America. He'll heal our land. Think about that. The answer is not a political party. The answer is not a twisted version of Jesus, some man's formatted religion that he's found. You know, it's a personal relationship with Jesus. It's us repenting and saying, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
God, forgive me. I was wrong the way I did family. I was wrong the way I did marriage. I was wrong. I did not follow your ways. But Lord, I repent. Forgive me. I've sinned. I've fallen short. Lord, I want to be right before you. Today, if that's you right now, I want you to pray with me right now. I want you to invite Jesus back into your life again. Listen, you can be led astray. Don't listen to anybody. You can make your life right now with God. You can say, here I am. Pray with me. Dear Jesus. Dear Jesus. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I need you. I see the storm that's been fashioned before me. And I cry out to you now. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Forgive me, Lord. I've sinned. I've sinned sexually. I've sinned immorally. I've actually sinned in financial things. I've sinned in so many ways. Everyone, just name it out, whatever it is. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me, Lord. Make me new, God. Create in me a clean heart, a pure heart, Lord God. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. If you made that decision, go to Meet My Father, meetmyfather.org. We have some great information for you. Take a few little steps there, and we can be able to hook you up right away and bring you into the body, get you rightly related. That's meetmyfather.org. Welcome to the family.